Podcast. In conversation with musicians from the UK jazz scene. And now your hosts, Rob Cope and Dan Farrant.
Hello and welcome to the Jazz Podcast. My name is Rob Cope and I'm here as always with Dan Farrant. How's it going, Dan?
Doing all right, thanks, Rob. How about you?
Yeah, good. Everything's very good. It's quite windy good. This week.
It's been cold.
Cold and windy. I threatened last week that we'd have Giorgio Mancio this week, but we were going to meet up and it was too windy to take my little bike out. So I made an emergency plan and Hattie Whitehead, who I'd been desperate to speak to anyway, agreed to come and mosey along and be on the show.
Oh, delightful.
Yeah, so we've managed to show every week since the first week of January.
Hats off to you, Rob, for that. That's good work.
Thanks, lads. I appreciate that. As you know, the strategy here is simply to bulldoze the Jazz Podcast into popular culture by sheer volume of the number of episodes. So I figured...
I think that's going to be the... Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I was going to say we should count our way up to 100. And then stop.
So we're on 93 again, are we?
Probably, yeah. Or maybe 94 or 5 or 6. Point being, we'll check before 100, celebrate 100, and then maybe stop counting because I feel like it's getting a bit sad and old if I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
So let's do some news.
Go ahead.
I should make a news jingle. There's actually a piano behind me in the room. I was thinking of attempting to compose one myself.
Oh, mate, do it.
But
let's hear it.
Shall I just spin around? And I'm good at this. Is literally going to have to be improvised. Hang on.
You're a jazz musician, Rob. I think you'll be all right.
This is a key moment for me. Middle C. This is the news of the jazz.
Stop.
It's time for the news. No good?
That was terrible.
I remember... when I was at the Northern, there was a teacher called Simon Parkin who was really good at doing this game. He'd be like, oh, if you want to write a news bulletin, you've got to use lots of fifths, you know. Yeah. Today on the news. But I'm rubbish at it, as you can tell.
Yeah, it started off well.
It did, didn't it? And then I made a few key errors and it ended horribly.
Anyway, get on with this segment.
Sorry, we're making a podcast. It's turning into a life lesson. So Sarah Tandy's new album Infection in the Sentence is out now. We talked to Sarah a few months ago. Yeah, it's a cool title, isn't it?
Where did that come from?
I can't remember, but I probably should remember because there is definitely an episode where we talk about it. But it's quite cool. It's only a few months ago, but I seem to remember that she was kind of not able to share that much detail yet about the album, and now it's already been released, which is really cool. That's all come about considering my album's coming out in July and I recorded it in 2017. You know, Sarah Tandy's turned around a lot quicker than I ever have. So that's cool. That can be listened to on all major streaming platforms and you can buy it as well, which is awesome. It was International Women's Day last week.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I did know about that. Yeah. Also, I found out it was National Music Theory Day the other day.
Oh, yeah.
What a terrible day.
Who decides that when it's National Music Theory Day?
I don't know. Some bod.
That's so funny. What, does that go through any legislation? Do they get approval from anyone?
I don't know.
Remarkable.
The music theory gods.
Yeah. Well, so, okay, let's have a listen to Hattie Whitehead.
Do it.
You must be confused. confused. But you can't see all I need right now is for you to know just how to see.
Hattie, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm very good. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. Everything's under control. Yes. Where are you? What are you up to?
I am sitting in my bedroom in my house in Broccoli.
Oh, nice. So we just listened to your new single, More Than That, which is a beauty, that goes without saying. Tell us about the tune.
So it's the second single from an EP of songs that I'm going to be putting out in May. And yeah, it was kind of like a joint effort on production between a few of us. I recorded it with my band in the Premises studio in Hackney.
Oh, I love it there. That's a great.
Yeah,
that's really cool. I love that there's a coffee shop attached to that.
Yeah.
Which makes it
that place is amazing. She's a little bit scary, but she's also really lovely as well. But my friend Neil, he runs the studio there, so we went and recorded. I recorded with my band there for a bit, and then sort of Neil was helping with production for a bit then, and then we kind of took the song and made some added some bits at home, me and Damien, who has mixed the whole EP,
right?
And then Tom Varrell, you know Tom?
Yes.
Varrell, he did some production stuff on it as well, because he does lots of stuff from home with Ableton, so he kind of added a lot of sounds to it.
Oh, amazing. So Tom is a guitarist, if you're listening and you weren't aware. He's widely acclaimed for his incredible powers, but he's quite a hard guy to pin down if you want to make a podcast about him.
Oh, really?
On a side note, yeah.
Oh, far too humble for that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. He was, he seemed stunned that I would even want to. So anyway, I'm going to.
He's a very interesting chap. Just tell him that the podcast is about something else that he's really interested in. And I'm sure you might have some luck that way.
Oh, I like that. That's one of my favorite things about this show is actually talking about like hobbies.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
So, and you shot the music video for that EP in Richmond Park.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Who like designs that? Who thinks it through and is like, this is the video. This is how it should look. You know,
that was kind of a team effort as well, really. I tend to like with like my songs and anything related to that project, I like to think that it's a bit of a collaborative thing, really. I mean, it's all sort of overseen by me. It's me organizing it all. But I like to just use people's skill where I can and kind of see where, you know, maybe I could listen to someone else's insight into something. So the music video was kind of like an idea dreamt up by me and my sister, who's the dancer in it.
Yes.
She choreographed that dance as well. And Richmond Park, because I grew up around Richmond Park, the house that I spent my childhood in was on one of the roads that's got a pedestrian gate into the park. So I used to go up there with my parents like most evenings. In fact, I think I used to kind of insist on going and saying goodnight to the horses before going to bed. So, so the like Richmond Park's it's like home for me, really. Yeah. And it felt right for us to be going there for like my first music video.
Oh, this is your first one. How exciting.
Yeah. And like, obviously it's got my sister in as well. So there's lots to do with around like family and I guess my sort of life so far. So it felt nice to do that. And also the woman that directed and produced it is a really close family friend as well. Right. I've known her since I was born. And in fact, do you know Nick France, the drummer? Jazz.
I don't know. I don't think so. I feel like I should do.
He's like friends with my dad.
Right.
And they've done a lot of projects together. And my parents introduced him to his wife. And the girl that directed the music video is their daughter. So
cool.
Yeah. So it was kind of like close friend directing and producing it, and my sister starring in it, and then the park being the kind of backdrop to it all. So yeah.
Did you know that I got married in Richmond Park?
Oh yeah, I remember you saying. Was it Pembroke Lodge?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh nice.
Yeah, I love it there. So
it's really beautiful around there.
A great choice to film there as well. That was like 5 a.m. at first light, so no one else is in the shots, is that right?
Yeah, it was. So we had this big plan to like go down to Richmond Park and get there for the sunrise, and then film this bit of choreography of my sister's in like not in quite a short space of time and catch like this amazing light in the morning. So I think I got up at like 3:30 in the morning to drive over from Broccoli to Richmond. We got to the park.
What's that drive like at 3:30?
It was quite funny actually, because I think we shot on a Sunday. Yeah, we shot on a Sunday, so I was basically driving through like Clapham Junction when people were on the way home from their nights out.
Wow.
Shot lots of people off their faces, really. like stumbling into the road, and I was kind of bleary-eyed, so it's lucky they didn't get killed, really.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's quite interesting. But yeah, we got to the park and it was really overcast. So we didn't get any sunrise at all, but it did mean that we had like a clear run of the day to film stuff.
So wait, how long did you film for?
We had planned to be there for like the morning and probably be done by like midday or something, and we ended up being there all day until about 4 in the afternoon.
Was it hard then as people started coming in to actually... Because I've watched it and I didn't see anyone in the background.
Watch again and you'll probably see a few people. Oh, I mean, they're yeah, they're not that obvious, luckily. But at one point there was like about half an hour where people just kept walking into the shot in high vis, and it was so annoying. So obvious. And then at one point someone walked past us, and we had like driven the car, it was a bit naughty, but we drove the car like off the track to the point that we were filming her. And we obviously had a permit to film in the park, and we weren't sure what the rules were with that, but someone came past and saw us filming, obviously saw the car there, and we saw them on the phone, so they were clearly like grassing us up to the park police basically. Yeah. And yeah, about 20 minutes later this police car like sped round the corner and came up to us and was just like on a huge power trip basically. And
oh god, that sounds annoying.
Yeah, it's a bit annoying, so you have to be careful. Like, we had to have a permit to do it because like there's loads of people that are sort of diehard park lovers, and I think they're just like doing their vigilante thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's kind of good really, because the park's beautiful and you wouldn't want people taking advantage of it really.
There's a YouTube video of a guy, I think it's called Fenton the video.
Oh yeah.
I'd forgotten about it. I watched it a few maybe years ago. Basically, if you haven't seen it, you should probably stop the podcast and go on YouTube and watch video. And if you don't want to do that, then it's basically a guy whose dog gets off its lead, and there's like 300 wild deer living in Richmond Park, and Fenton goes on a rampage basically chasing after them and creates a stampede like the Lion King.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. The other thing is I completely relate to that because our family dog for years was a complete nightmare out on walks.
Right.
He would run. He would definitely be one of those dogs to run after deer. And he has been known to get into like horse fields before and scare the horses. And he went from being a complete nightmare to being really old in the space of like days. So we never got the point where he was like still full of life, but really well behaved. You know,
that's such a that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
What type of dog was it?
His old age. He is a collie cross.
Okay.
So yeah,
we've I always got... ask that as if I know what that means, but I'll Google it and then.
He's like a sheepdog, you know, black and white.
Oh, lovely! But then that's why he's got such profound deer chasing instincts.
Yeah, exactly. He wants to herd everything.
Yeah.
I think he's got Alsatian in him as well, so you know he's got that side as well.
Okay.
Little bit ferocious, bit scary.
Yeah. So tell me, what's it like then growing up being you?
What was it like? It was really good. I've got really, really fond memories of being younger. Had a really close family. My parents, my dad's a musician. He plays saxophone.
Yeah, Tim Whitehead is the chap, which some of our listeners may be aware of.
Yeah.
His behaviours.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we were always like, we would always go to his gigs as children as right. well. So I did a gig at the 606 with my dad recently, and someone was like saying, like, oh, have you played here before? And I literally have like gigged there, worked there, serving food and behind the bar. And when I was a child, we used to go to gigs there. And I remember like falling asleep across several chairs on the back row. So a bit of a home from home. Yeah, so we used to go to a lot of his gigs. And so I was kind of always around like music and sort of seeing good, really good musicians as well, I guess.
And how many siblings do you have?
I've got three siblings. I've got one sister who's in the music video.
Yeah.
And I've got two younger brothers, Sonny and Finn.
Right.
Yeah.
You're a very creative bunch because Finn is an actor. Yeah. Maisie's, is she a dancer? Is that the right description of her?
She's like a dancer, aerialist and physical performer, if cool. you want to get technical.
Yeah, I do want to get technical. What about Sonny? What does he do?
Sonny is currently, so he finished college like a year ago. He's 22 and he has Down syndrome, and he was at a really amazing like residential college where all of the students and all of the teachers lived mm-hmm. all together. And he learned amazing things like woodwork and about horticulture, and they had like a weavery there, so he made a lot of amazing art, and he's really into art. So we're kind of as a family we like to encourage like that side in him, because I don't think I know anyone else that could sit for as long as Sonny does on one piece of work, like one piece of art.
Right.
He's got the most amazing concentration for it, and he's just like very particular about it, and it's all very like very sort of detailed in his own way. So I would say Sonny's an artist.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long would it take him then, when you say like sitting down in one go, you know, to like finish? I know that's a bit of a stupid question, because it's probably been wildly different every time he's ever created something.
Yeah. Are you saying how long would it take?
Well, what's the longest that you've known him spend on something?
Well, he's just got the most incredible stamina. So you could, like, he will sit down and start working on a painting and sit there for hours doing it.
Right.
And sort of never tire of it. Okay. He's the kind of person that never tires really of anything, actually. Unless it's sitting in a conversation at the family at the dinner table with the family, and we get into some in-depth, you know, political debate about something, then he gets a bit cheesed off with that. But he's like, he's an amazing swimmer as well, and he's just got this incredible ability to just keep going. Like with swimming, he doesn't get tired. He just keeps swimming and swimming and swimming, and he'll do that for. You could just leave him and he'd swim for hours. And he doesn't seem to get exhausted by it as well, which is like...
Did you ever play the computer game, The Sims?
Yeah.
My God, because you could do that.
Although they do get tired if you don't give them food.
Eventually, they did, but you could leave them in the pool for 7 or 8 hours at a time and their fitness would just go through the roof.
Yeah, and if you knew the cheats, you could just delete them and bring them back and they'd be totally fine again.
Yeah, that's right. You could max out all their feet. I used to, as a kid, I couldn't like manage all their feelings, you know?
Yeah.
I love that game. I love thinking of myself as a sim, like having a hunger bar and an energy bar and a, you know, contentment, all that. Yeah, that was...
I guess if we did treat ourselves like sims... It would simplify a lot, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Just you have like 8 feelings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If only. I was obsessed with The Sims.
Oh, I'm so glad I brought this up, which is because I was too.
Okay.
I remember once I made Joey Tribbiani, and I had a mansion. It was beautiful. And then there was a fire in the house and Joey got stuck on the balcony, and it like auto-saved right before he unfortunately burned to death.
Oh, no.
I know. So then and I couldn't load a previous save to get him back. Yeah. I still think about Joey every day.
I used to go to my friend Lucy's house and we would like set the timer for like an hour each, and we'd just sit there all day playing.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Me and my wife did that when we first met. But we'd do 3 hours each.
Oh, wow.
And we'd play like full on, you know, I don't know, 12 hours in a row. I don't even know. Like one would have to cook while the other played. And then after 3 hours, one could go in the shower and like sort your life out a bit. And then you'd swap again.
Sort your real life out, then sort your Sims life out.
Sort my Sims life out. Try and get a promotion, become an astronaut.
Yeah, it's like, it makes everything a bit more possible in The Sims, as I've found, because like, obviously in real life, it's a little bit scary pushing your own agenda. Whereas if it's a Sim, totally fine. No one's going to know about it.
No, this is wonderful.
Reach for the stars.
Steve Berry, my old teacher, used to say to me, Rob, reach for the stars and you might hit the ceiling. Great.
Oh,
yeah, I always enjoyed that. So My friend Mitch Jones, he's a pianist, and we grew up together. But my like discovery of doing all nighters was playing The Sims with Mitch. You know, we'd play, and at like, I don't know, midnight, you'd be like, I don't know, we must have been 15, and you'd be like, hey, maybe it's possible to stay up all night. And he would each time start again and make his grandma. And I know. And he'd like send his gran to the gym and max out all her stats. So like she wouldn't work, you know, she'd just stay at home.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I remember Gaynor. I'm sure she was called Gaynor. Gaynor Jones. I know.
That's a stage name if there ever was one.
Yeah, maybe I should tell him to try that on.
Yeah. Try it on.
Yeah. And like clothes, you know, try that. Yeah. Try it for a week. See how it feels.
Yeah.
Okay. So then what did you have like a point in your life where you thought like, yeah, I'm going to be a singer. This is it for me.
I don't know really. I mean, I think that was always what I wanted to do when I was little, but you don't really think about it that much when you're young, do you? Like I was just thinking about when I was going to get my next Sims fix.
Buy another one of the expansion packs.
Yeah, exactly. When was I going to get Sims Pets?
That was my favourite, the Pets.
Yeah, that's really good.
Sims Unleashed.
I love that. Yes, yeah, Sims Unleashed. I sort of always sang. I had singing lessons at school and at college, and I was always in at primary school. I was always in like the school productions. In fact, there is a DVD somewhere of our year 6 production, and I really hope I never find it because it's really embarrassing because I played like loads of the roles.
Wow. What an attention seeking stunt.
Yeah. I was like Peter Pan. That was the most embarrassing role, I think, was Peter Pan, because I was like the most incredible over actor as well. So yeah, it's just embarrassing. But yeah, so I did lots of stuff when I was at school, and my parents always really encouraged it. And I didn't really start thinking about it as a serious career, I guess, until I got to like the age where you decide what you're doing at uni. And it was going to be between drama and music. So I chose music and went off to Leeds Uni. And then while I was there, I did a few gigs, not loads. But then when I finished, that was when I really started gigging properly. And then it's just gone from there, really. I never really had like an aim in mind with it, I guess. And I didn't write music for quite a long time as well, until I'd finished university. And then sort of once I'd written my first song, then they came thick and fast.
How do you even start though, when you're like, I'm going to write a song?
I don't really plan it most of the time. Like I'll be playing something else and then an idea, I'll probably be like trying to learn some song for like a wedding ceremony or something, and then I'll be procrastinating about that because I don't really want to do it. And then yeah, I mean, it's usually just when I'm doing something else, or yeah, I don't know really. It just sort of happens, I guess. That's a really annoying answer. But usually, I guess it comes like the chord progression comes first,
right? And, okay,
and then the melody.
Do you ever co-write? Is there anyone else that you bounce ideas off of if you get stuck?
Most of it is not co-written. In fact, all of the stuff I've released, like under my own sort of name, so far has been just written by me. But I've done quite a lot of like library tracks, writing to brief kind of thing.
Oh, cool. What for?
Like a couple of albums for EMI production music. Right. And then I did a thing for Universal a couple of years ago.
What do they use these tracks for?
They just like get put into a library and then people go when they need something for their TV program or their advert. And I never really see them used on like TV shows, but I get my PRS statement and it tells me what they've been used on. Oh, wow. So I've had quite a lot of, in fact, I've had quite a lot of Country File and quite a lot of Coronation Street
running. Wow. Cool. How do you write these songs? They tell you like, we want something moody, or we want these like characters are gonna like stab each other, and like
it's like you write to the brief of the library album, so the music doesn't already have a placement at the point that you write it. So like EMI will come to me and say, we're putting together this album of like, so the thing that I've been working on recently is like a moody folk album. Mm-hmm. So they give you this kind of sheet that just has like a few buzzwords in it. And like, they give you a reference playlist to listen to like similar artists. And then you just sort of write something in a similar vein to that. And like production wise, you just put on like the same kind of instruments that are on the like reference playlist.
So would you play all of the instruments required, or are you starting to like phone it in and get people to come and play on these?
Yeah, I do. I play a fair bit of it. I obviously do all the singing and like all of the backing vocals, and then most of the guitar, and then like
this is like Peter Pan all over again.
Yeah, I do most of it. but I do get in players as well, depending on what the track needs. So Tom usually does quite a lot on my library tracks.
Right, okay. How do you get into that?
I think the first one I did was the one with Universal, and a friend of a friend was working. He had like a little subsidiary label within Universal Production Music. And he came and just said he was looking to do another release, and he wanted to do like folk, like something in the sort of folk, indie folk genre. And did I have like any back catalogue stuff that I wasn't planning on releasing myself? And I've got loads, like I've got loads of songs that haven't been recorded or released. And quite a few of them are ones that are really old that I just don't feel really fit with my thing anymore. So I just sort of delved into that to begin with. So it started off with stuff that had already been written, but then we got a producer called Dave Gerrard to come and do the production on that. And that was the first thing. And then from then on, I just kind of took matters into my own hand, really. And it's been quite fun because I've started doing more producing, which is really, like, I really like it because I obviously have a sort of vision of how the song will sound when I write it, but I find it really hard to put that into words. So it's good to be able to just sort of make it myself. Been teaching myself a bit of logic. So that really, I can't remember what the question was now. Have I answered it?
You have. How you ended up getting into that to begin with.
Yeah.
So your EP then, how do you find your bandmates in life? Who are they?
My bandmates.
Who else is playing on the EP? Let's do it that way.
Yeah. So Tom is playing on it. Me and Tom have known each other for years. We went to college together and did like A-level music together.
Oh, cool. Whereabouts? Oh, because he's from Richmond as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's from St. Margaret's.
Sweet. Still talking about Tom Varrell, by the way.
Tom. you're just trying to convince him to come and do a podcast. He'll talk about him enough on other ones and then. So that was Richmond College.
Right.
We've been playing together since then, and we've also written some stuff together as well.
Okay.
And so that's guitar. And then on bass, Ida Hollis, who plays in the Lydian Collective.
Ah, cool. Yeah, I Googled you yesterday. And it's really funny, actually, because it says you know, you type your name in and it says Hattie Whitehead in big letters, and then right under it, it says Finn Whitehead's sister.
I know.
I was like, that is so rude. Who set that up?
I was here first as yeah, well.
Exactly. It's like he's the one that should be trading off your name.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah.
Very lucky to be Hattie Whitehead's brother.
Yeah.
Just to contextualize Finn, although when you told me this, I was like giddy with excitement. He stars in Dunkirk, the Christopher Nolan film.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. And he's recently, he was the guy in Bandersnatch, the new Black Mirror.
Oh, cool.
The one, the interactive one.
Yeah, loads of people have been talking about that. And at first I thought it was just a made up word that people were saying because it was funny or something. And then I realized it's an actual show. I'm so behind. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's really funny because like the Bandersnatch like ad campaign, they went to town on it. There were like billboards and stuff everywhere, and there was obviously that for Dunkirk as well, but you'd expect it from like a blockbuster.
Yeah.
But I've never really seen Black Mirror being advertised like that before.
No.
But yeah, there were people I could see like on, you know, friends like Instagram stories, they were like posting like, oh, I can't wait to watch this, and it was really funny thinking that that face on the poster was my brother. And then in Shoreditch High Street station, I went to meet him the other day, and the advert for Bandersnatch is still up there for some reason. But like on the stairs as you go up to the platform, then like the stairs have the poster on them, so you just kind of like look at this massive picture of his face as you go up, like on the on the individual steps, each one's got a bit of the picture.
That's weird. Like you're walking on his face.
Yeah, exactly. So he's just like, I was meeting him there, and I was like, oh, look, it's Bandersnatch. He's like, yeah, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet.
Just be cool.
Yeah.
So my point about that was that then when I scrolled down from that, it said like, you know, people also search for the Lydian Collective. But I didn't put two and two together quite yet because I was distracted by that huge thing about, you know, how you're Finn's sister.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that makes sense. I understand now.
Yeah. Yeah. So Aaron, whose project that is, I'm friends with him as well.
Right. Okay.
He's been very, very good to me in the past. I recorded my first EP in his studio.
Lovely.
Yeah, and we've worked on some of his stuff together before as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's Ida on bass. And then we've
got... Do you know Sophie Alloway? Sorry to interrupt.
Through Ida, yeah.
Okay, cool, because she's the first thing I had her on the podcast. We had her a year ago. And yeah, I didn't really know about it, but again, only because I'm really behind that, you know, actually the Lydian Collective.
It's a relatively new thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not been around that long. It's really good. It's really fun to go and watch them live. They're a great, great band.
I must go. Yeah. I haven't seen them live before. I've watched their videos. There's a lot of cool videos on YouTube. Another moment when you can press the pause button if you're wanting to do your homework on it. Sorry. So Ida Hollis on bass, Tom Verrill on guitar.
Yeah, Tom on guitar. George Brown Griffiths on keys.
Yeah, so he grew up in Kingston. So is that someone you just found locally? Like, did you already know him?
Yes. So he ended up playing in my band. I can't remember how now, but I was looking to expand it to include keys as well.
Right.
I think he was actually potentially the only person that did it, but he's an amazing musician, and he has a really similar sort of, he seems on the same wavelength musically, like stylistically,
right,
as me. So it's really easy teaching him songs because he just like plays.
Yeah, really, he's such a nice guy.
It works straight away. But yeah, so I know George. I knew George already because he went to my secondary school.
Which secondary did you go to?
Grey Court.
Right, okay.
And he was a few years younger than me. But for my year 10 production, we were stage husband and wife.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Did you have to like hug or kiss or anything?
We had to hug. There was a while where we thought we might have to kiss, and then I think the teachers thought better of it because he was in year 7 and I was in year 10.
Year 7. Oh, that's brutal. Yeah. You did. Yeah. That's so great. Wow.
And like none of the guys in my year wanted to be in a musical. So he was also really, really good, but he was also really up for being in it. And he was like little George, like he was like really tiny and cute back then. And he had like all this like long ginger hair.
Yeah.
And all of the girls in year 10 that were in the production were like, oh, George, thank you. And then I didn't see him for years. And then I bumped into him at the 606, I think when I was working there. Mm-hmm. And he just like, this sounds like such an old person thing to say, but like he had just shot up.
Did you say that to him? Like, oh my George, how you've grown.
Yeah. Oh my God, the last time I saw you. A little bab. Yeah, but so, oh God, that feels like ages ago now because he's been playing in my band for quite some time.
Wow.
But yeah, so that's the backstory with George. We were stage husband and wife to
begin.
That's
such a good backstory. That's amazing. George and I actually studied together. And we used to do some wedding. Well, we still do. Like, he does a lot more than I do because he's really cool and trendy. But like when he was kind of like at the beginning of his like wedding gigs sort of career, and he was getting good at it. He was doing the talk back. So he's the guy who has a microphone, was playing keys where only the other people in the band can hear that mic. So it's not like backing vocals. Yeah. You know, he's just chatting. But you get to the end of a tune. And what you want to hear is like, guys, we're going to do the last 4 bars 3 times, you know.
Yeah.
But we'd all be playing and George would just go, yeah. And you'd be like, you'd kind of all stare at each other, eyes slowly widening, like, how are we getting out of this one? And then he'd be like, yeah, guys, bring it home. And I'd be like, oh, I don't know what that means.
Bring it home. Oh,
it was so funny. I used to be in tears doing that because he'd like all these cryptic messages and you he'd be having such a good time with the music that he was not, you know, these instructions were perfect. They were like emotional instructions rather than literal ones.
Yeah, like psyching you up kind of thing. Exactly. Yeah, guys.
Yeah, guys, beautiful. Bring it home. This one's for me.
Each one has a different meaning.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Love it. Oh, actually, also his dad was in the Rocky Horror Show with my dad back in the day.
Oh wow, cool.
That's another link with that family.
Wow, that's amazing.
Lots of links with that family. His dad's a really good guitarist.
Yeah.
So that's George. And then Pete Hill on drums.
Right.
Really amazing drummer and very good friend of mine. Do you know Pete?
No.
He's a drummer. Tom brought him actually into the band. Cool. Tom introduced me to him. And he's been playing for years. It's all been going on quite a long time.
Yeah, I feel like I'm gate crashing because I moved here when I was like 26, 25. You know, and like into this world in which all these people that you grew up here and you've met so many other musicians, you know, like Southwest London scene.
Yeah, I don't know. I often feel like I'm gate crashing because loads of my friends all knew each other from music college. Right. and I didn't go to music college. So,
did you ever feel like you wanted to or that you missed anything by not doing?
I do feel like I missed out on like making the connections with people like at that stage, that earlier stage.
Right. Okay.
So, I do. Yeah, I think I do. In hindsight, I would have gone to music college if I could do it all again.
Right.
Because the course I did was like more sociology based.
Right.
And now I'm just doing the practical side of things. So,
yeah.
I'm not a music lecturer and I'm not an ethnomusicologist.
Yeah.
So I would have gone to music college.
Do you have a manager?
No, not at the moment.
So you're like self-running your yourself?
I've got like a team of people
that
I'm working with. So yeah. I've got a booking agent, and I've got a woman that does press for me as well.
Oh, cool.
And I've got, I actually have a lawyer, which seems a bit ridiculous, but, I had a sync like a year and a bit ago, for an advert in Australia. So he kind of dealt with all of that.
What's a sync?
Just like one of my songs was used in an advert.
Oh, okay.
But like not the library, not the library.
Oh, I see. Like a single or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I genuinely immediately just thought about syncs, you know, when you said that. I had this sync. I was like, now you can use the phrase, like, I'm calling my lawyer.
Yeah, no. I feel like such a dickhead saying it. Like, my lawyer.
My lawyer's going to hear about this, don't you?
Yeah, my lawyer. Yeah. Yeah, the advert also, funnily, was an advert for dog food. That's a bit I tend to leave out.
No one needs to know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was a great advert, though. You know, it's probably among the better of the dog food adverts, but, you know.
There's some really good cat food adverts online called, like, Dear Kitten. I don't know if they're, like, Purina cat food. There's, like, this older cat teaching the kitten about the ways of being a cat and cat food and how to live in the house. And it's quite sweet. Oh, really? Yeah, it's really funny. So
you have a cat, don't you?
Yes, I do have a cat.
Very cute.
A cat called George, who is... He's like cameoed on almost every podcast because I do them in the lounge and like he just tends to come in. Usually he gets bored with about 10 minutes to go and we'll, there's like one meow per show, you know.
We're yet to hear it on this one.
Yeah, I know. He's, I got a new sofa this morning and he's kind of upset with it because it doesn't smell right. So he's sulking.
Okay. Yeah. Bit spooked.
Yeah. He's not happy. That's the problem, you know, because he's a house cat. Changing something like the sofas tipped his world upside down.
Yeah, yeah.
Really messed with him. Oh my God, he's here. He's just appeared. He's jumped, right, he's at like, his face is about 6 centimeters from the mic right now. This is a very nervous moment for me. Wow, I did not see this coming.
Come on, George, put it out of the bag.
Literally heard, like, the, oh, he's just sitting down. Wow, he's so lazy. So in his world, he gets up at 8 a.m., has breakfast, and then usually sleeps till about 8 p.m., and then he'll spend just 2 or 3 hours sort of up, walking around, chatting away,
yeah,
and then back to bed again.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds fantastic.
Pretty envious of him.
I reckon if I didn't feel really bad about doing that, I would actually be able to do that.
Yeah, we often have the thought of, like, why don't we do a day where we do everything that George is doing? If he's sleeping, we have to sleep. If he's on the bed, you know.
Yeah.
I think, like you say, even by, like, 3 p.m., the guilt would eat me alive.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Mm.
So what's coming up in the near future, then, for your band? Obviously, the EP is getting released. That's in May.
Yes, yeah, the EP is coming out in May. And then I have, we're doing like a few, I'm doing a few gigs between now and the summer. I'm doing one on the 26th of March at Paper Dress Vintage in Hackney. And I'm supporting a girl called Anya for that one, who's a singer from Ireland. And then I've got another one in Shoreditch in April, and then a few festivals over the summer. And then following that, I've got another EP of music that is sort of waiting in the bank to be released after this one.
Oh, amazing.
So, yeah, I started working with a producer called Tim Bidwell last year. Mm-hmm. And he, have you heard Lucy Rose?
No.
Ah, she's like...
I'm useless. I've not heard of anything.
Well, she's not really in the jazz world. She's like a sort of indie folk.
Okay.
So I guess similar vein to me. Right. To my music. But yeah, she... So the producer that did her most recent album, I did an EP of songs with him. So I'll be releasing that after this one.
Oh, great.
But that's all, you know.
How long will you wait between the launch of your current one before starting the cycle for the next one?
I'll probably,
do you just choose, or is there like a set logic that's like, oh, you should wait this long?
I don't really know. I wish there was a list of rules of how to do it all, because it would make it so much easier. If there was just one place that we could all go for a bit of advice.
Yeah.
All of the information you need in one document.
I love that.
But yeah, no, there's not really a set rule, but I guess I'm trying to just keep up with what the labels are doing, right. Which is virtually impossible because I'm working to like my own, with my own funds.
Yes.
But yeah, I guess like in this day and age of releasing music, in definitely in the sort of pop world, you have to just have loads of content to put out constantly. So I've had I've got the music video that I've released, and then I'm actually going to be making another music video for the same EP.
Amazing.
And I've got like a couple of live videos, so they'll all be going out as well around the time of the EP. But I guess I'll probably start looking at releasing the next EP like after the summer, after like festival season is over.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'll do. I don't really know yet.
No, it's really interesting to understand like how you make decisions and why you make them, because like you say, it's just a bit of, I suppose it's a free for all. Just do.
Totally. Yeah. And anyone can release music whenever these days. So, yeah. But it's good to have a bit of a plan in place, I think.
Right.
Like I was meeting up with a guy that was giving me some advice on like marketing plans and stuff, and you know, when to put stuff out and when to post on social media and what to post. And yeah, it's a complete minefield, and it's a really difficult job kind of managing it all yourself, because you're essentially doing the job of loads of different people.
Yeah, it's horrible. Rolled
into one, like I'm acting as my management and my label. Yeah. And I've got other people helping, so the booking agent and press, but I'm still sort of overseeing all of that and having the kind of say so with it. Yeah. Whereas someone with a manager, I imagine the manager would just like share the same, in an ideal world, the manager would share the same vision for the project. So you could kind of confidently put jobs into their hands and just get done, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So maybe that's my really idealistic view of what it would be like to have a manager. Yeah.
Until then, at least you've got a lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. And also I've got creative control over everything that I do and everything that I put out, which a lot of people don't have. So I am really grateful to have that.
Totally.
It's all got my stamp on it.
Yeah, and you get to choose your own band and when you play.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Hattie, thank you so much for coming on the Jazz Podcast. It's really been a huge pleasure to pick your brains.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks for having me.
Ah, yes. So let's finish with one of the other singles from the EP that's out. You can hear these on Spotify right now. Is there anywhere you'd rather that people listen to them than The Evil Beast?
Than Spotify?
Yeah.
Is
that a thing?
Do you know what? Having put the last EP out on Bandcamp, I'd say just listen on Spotify and share it with your friends and put it in your playlists.
All right, that's delightful advice. So this tune is Ups and Downs.
Hello, old friend. It's been a while, but I've had lots to take in and a lot on my plate again. My life has been strange. It's been a series of all these ups and downs. Since we last met, I've been
Well, lads, I've still got some tickets free for my film, Richard Turner, A Life in Music.
Oh, great.
Yeah, are you coming 11th. To that? I've forgotten.
Yeah, we're coming. Okay, 11th, yeah?
Yeah, the 11th of April, 7 p.m, Royal Academy of Music. If you want to come to it, there's plenty of space. Whoops, should have turned my phone on silence. There's plenty of space. Send me an email, thejazzpodcastuk@gmail.com, and let me know. There's also a screening on the 9th of April at Leeds College of Music.
Great.
So yeah, send me an email if you want to attend. They're not publicly advertised because they're invite only. But there is, on July the 15th, a public screening at Leeds Jazz Festival.
Oh, lovely.
So if you can't make either of those, you can come to that. Not you,
I'm sure Rob will do a screening, personal screening for you if you message him. He'll come around.
Oh yeah, big time, Dan. With the laptop. I love that. Not yeah. only would I be willing, I would be sodding delighted to do that. It would be a huge pleasure.
Just make him dinner, get him a bag of crisps, and he'll be happy.
Oh, my wife Claire told me she finally got to the discos episode.
Oh.
It's remarkable how much, I think I've said this every week since it happened, but the praise for us spending 10 minutes of a show talking about crisps continues to be overwhelming.
Rob, I'm a bit confused because I know you do most of the work. You do all of the work, let's be realistic, for this podcast.
Yeah.
But people are sending you things and not sending me things. Like, there was this coffee that supposedly got sent, which I never saw.
Lee Wagstaff sent that to us.
He sent it to you. He didn't send it to us.
He must have sent you some. I feel like the post office has got a lot to answer for. My postman Gary and I are going to have words about this, rest assured.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't receive any crisps either.
Oh, yeah, those crisps were hand-delivered, to be fair, I guess.
Send me some discos, someone.
Okay. Send us an email. Again, thejazzpodcastuk@gmail.com. In order to maintain, we don't ask for much. We don't want any money, but we would appreciate.
Well, we do want money.
Okay, we do want money, but that seems like an unrealistic goal. So let's one step at a time. First of all, some discos, please.
Let's just start with some discos. Salt and vinegar.
Maybe we could get an endorsement eventually. I might write to the discos people.
Yeah, do it, Rob.
All right, I'm going to do it now. It's been a pleasure, Dan.
As always.
Sick. Next week, Jeff Williams. You have been listening to the Jazz Podcast.
We've got Jeff Williams on next week.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good work.
Yeah, thanks, lads. He's some shows like that with a legend like Jeff, it's just like, you know, when we talked to Henry Lowther last year, and he tells a story on that episode about, like, meeting Miles in the 60s in LA, you know, and you're like, oh my god, we're making a jazz podcast. That's how it's going to feel with Jeff.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
that'll be a good one.
Alright,
how's Nikki Isles doing? Is she, you got a date for
she's
her
in
yet?
She's in the holding pattern, Dan.
Okay,
where's Nikki?
She must be running out of fuel.
Anyone sees Nikki Isles kicking around, please send us a message or an email or tweet us photos. Any sightings? No one's going to... Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, last time I saw Nikki was just purely by accident.
Well.
Yeah, shocking.
Have a good one.
Sick. See you later, buddy.
Ciao.